I pray that you've all heard part 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is part 5. And it looks like this piece of literature that the Lord has given me a couple of years ago is going to go at least 10 or 11, maybe 12 parts, maybe more. I don't know, because it all depends on the amount of commentary the Lord gives me. You know, as time goes by, there are many other things that transpire, and there's many other things to add to the literature. Ordinarily, I suppose the literature could have been read in a couple of hours, but as it is, we're on part 5, and we have a couple of letters here, one from Africa and the other one from India. But first, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this tape, this service. Father God, we thank and praise your name for salvation. We thank you for the spirit of you within us. And Lord, we thank you for the outward anointing. Jesus was born of the Spirit, just as we now are. He was born of the Spirit the minute he was conceived. But when he went into the ministry, right after his baptism, when he arose out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and baptized him with the Holy Spirit, which is the outward anointing for him to be able to do the ministry, to be in the ministry. And immediately he was sent out in the ministry to be tested or tempted by Satan, so that he could immediately show Satan his mettle. And we, from the record, we see that he certainly did show that he had your Father, your Spirit in him, that he definitely had the fullness of the Godhead in his human body, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when we become born again, we also have that same Spirit, but we also, if we want to be in the ministry, and all you people, all you Christians that have never believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to be in the ministry, and if you want to have power to be able to withstand all the fiery darts of Satan and all the temptations of this world, which are the same as fiery darts, you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I would suggest that you get started seeking for it immediately. The Lord wants you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit a lot more than you want to receive it. Father, you're saying these things to them because you want them to be baptized. They've been told, Father, that they're going to be raptured out of the tribulation, but as I know, and you, for sure you know, that they're not going to accept unless they die before they go through the tribulations. But we who really know you, Father, we know we're going to go through the tribulations because you said immediately after the tribulations that you're going to come back and get your people. Well, we praise and thank you, Lord. Open up. We thank you for the outward anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the Spirit to minister the Word and to be able to let you speak through us to others. We ask, Lord, and you want them to be empowered with the Holy Spirit enough to where their ears, their spiritual ears will open up during this program, and that their spiritual eyes will open up so that they can hear and be able to realize all the truths so that their spirit can receive immortality, eternal life, life eternal. Lord, we ask at this that you give them this power, and I ask, Lord, that you uplift the church, you strengthen it, make them more aware of the things that are going on around and about them, because it's not good that they be ignorant to the things that to the spiritual realm. If their spiritual eyes could open up, they'd see all the spiritual activity going on around and about them. The satanic powers are seducing them. You stated that there would be seducing spirits in these last days, and that they would be seducing them to become part of the great falling away. Lord, we see that hundreds of millions of them have been seduced away from your true word, that are into every kind of false doctrine unimaginable. It's just horrible. And Lord, I ask that you do something in this service that will enlighten them, so and give them direction out of the snares that Satan has led them into. Father, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's hear, where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, let's go ahead and read it.
Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, may the grace and peace of God be multiplied to you. How are you? I hope you are doing good in health. I am always praying for you and your ministry.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
That
one.
There's no way to tell you how much happy I am to have received the small package that you sent me. In that, the newsletters have always inspired and changed many lives. Prayerfully, I and my wife and my team, 12 members, are distributing all that you are sending to me. May the Holy Spirit continue to bless your ministry and your family. And also, I am happy with your precious letter that you sent me. Thank you for your valuable words, which are going to fill my needs in my ministry. In my place where I am working, in that area, people are accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in their life through your newsletters. People are very much interested to read the Bible. I am kindly requesting, please pray, for we need Bibles, newsletters, the Book of Messiah, and also please kindly pray, for we don't have a proper church for worshiping every week.
Well, you know, like, the disciples never had a proper church either. Don't let that bother you. Proper churches are religious churches. If true Christians have a proper church, you'll wind up getting it burned down or something. So just serve the Lord in your home, in the woods someplace, or wherever, you know, maybe a cafeteria that they'll let you come in. Cafeterias or restaurants love to have you have meetings in their cafeterias and their restaurants, because they know if you have a big gathering in there, they're going to order coffee or pie and coffee, or maybe even order something to eat like chicken. They can have a special. So you go to restaurant owners and tell them you'll bring in a lot of followers if you'll let them, and they'll probably order some of your food, you know, and that'll make them happy. And they usually give up their dining room for a service once a week, or they might even let you come in every day, you know, if you've got a big enough crowd. Okay, and then there's all kinds of ways to get around that. So forget about proper church, right? And then what else? There's no such thing as dignity in the gospel. You know, John the Baptist and Elijah and people like that were not exactly dignified, or Peter and Paul and all them. You know, I don't call it dignified for somebody to come marching out of the wilderness with a camel hair outfit on, you know, chewing on grasshoppers like John the Baptist did, and washing them down with wild honey, and the same thing with Elijah. So, you know, they weren't exactly formal, neither was Jesus. He sat on mountaintops and preached them. Read the Beatitudes and read, they would go into different houses and preach the gospel just wherever they could. So this modern day idea of Christianity with these huge cathedrals, there isn't anything that ever existed like that in the true New Testament Christian realm. Nobody ever had a church like that. And it's, you know, a lot of people say, well, you have to go underground. Well, you don't have to go underground, but you can go in people's houses. Each one of you can meet in a different house every other day or something, or every day, and that way they can't get a bead on you, the devil, and you just dazzle them with footwork. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the way we started, and now we have some churches, but that just evolved that way. Churches were empty and they were for sale, and somebody came to me and told me, if you'll just take over the payments, no down payment, you can have the one in Fort Smith. And we got that one that way. Then we got one over here in near the Texarkana area, and I bought an old restaurant and nightclub. It was abandoned for years. We fixed that up, and that was our church out in the Saugus New Hall, Valencia area. We rented an old mansion before that in West Hollywood, and then before that our church was in a house. And before that, Sue and I witnessed and testified in just these wino missions. And then we just witnessed on the street, distributed literature. So there's nothing fancy, you know, about these about the true work of the Lord. You just use whatever the Lord has given you and be thankful that you have souls and that you're winning them. And there's something about it that's something very nice to look back upon. Good old memories, you know, of how you started and everything. And once you get a little bit too much riches or something like that, there's too much of a chance, the Bible says, that you'll backslide. Because that's one thing, when people have gone through poverty and so on, and they got the spirit, and they have to rely on the Lord all the way to receive food even for the meal that night. And then when you start getting rich, well then, or money starts coming in, sometimes people forget about that. That's the most dangerous thing that can happen to people, is that when Satan starts allowing you to have a lot of money or something, because a lot of people, it goes to their head and it just stops, it chokes the spirit. And riches have a tendency to pull people out of the ministry. So don't worry about things. Just be glad to have whatever you have. And Sue and I started out in an old shack behind a gas station over on Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood. And souls, we'd go out on the streets and souls would come in. And then one day when we were preaching in missions, wino missions, we got out of there and a bunch of dopers said they wanted us to go and preach to them. We did, over on Carlos Avenue, and everybody in it was a dope den, and everyone in that dope den got saved, and they flushed all their dope down the toilets, and that became our first church. It was packed out, and thank God we saved a lot of pictures of that. We got them plastered all over our walls now in near Texarkana and Fort Smith and Los Angeles, and it just really is now nostalgia, you know, looking back at the way we started. And really, we don't have any big cathedrals or anything like that at all, but the Lord is with us. Amen?
Amen.
As long as the Lord is in the services, don't worry about it. That's all you really want. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's finish the letter.
We have a small ground. In that ground, we want to build the church. And thank you for our ministry t-shirt and sweatshirt. We would like to receive them. You asked what size we used to wear, medium and extra large sizes, and white color. We are prayerfully waiting for your valuable materials. May the Lord Jesus Christ continue to bless you, your family, the ministry that he has given you, and people of the Most High God who are standing in faith with you in the ministry. I am looking forward to hearing from you soon. Very truly yours, Brother V. Dana, from Tanuku, Andhra Pradesh, South India.
Okay, well, make sure you send him a copy of this tape so that they're able to see. We're with you, brothers and sisters there, and we'll be praying for you, and just relax and let the Lord do his work in and through you. Don't push, don't be anxious for anything, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what? Where's
the next
one's
from Monsa, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Tony Alamo, thank you very much for the 20 Bibles and literatures. May God bless you and increase your days, for the work and burden you have is great. Your literatures and tapes are reaching wider audiences. Praise God. You are outstanding and unique in your approach to Bible truth and presentation of it. You are brief, accurate, and simple, with the aim of feeding sheep. You are a friend and faithful servant of our Lord Jesus. Your Bible outline is a blessing to a lot of people here. Your literature and tapes are not for faint-hearted or those who only want Christianity as a hobby to pick up and put down at will. Many people are genuinely saved and go on well with the Lord for a few years, but then they seem to stagnate. They become like spiritual wheelbarrows, no good unless they are pushed.
Right, you know, when you get saved, you should be getting stronger. true Christians that are going to make it to heaven always get stronger as the years go by. This is 41 years for me, going on 42, and I don't feel weaker at all. I don't feel stagnant. I just feel like, you know, I get so angry at the false doctrine that people are preaching and the evil that I see in the world that I just have to, at the risk of losing my life, I will have to tell people that there's something that's burning inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit just has to vent itself. And I've got to tell you people the truth. That's all there is to it. Okay, and keep going.
If people take your literature and tapes seriously, this will not happen. People in Africa cannot afford a printed page, and in some parts, Christian materials are not available. So it is a big blessing to have tapes and literature from you. It is for that reason we ask your kind and concerned ministry to put me and my team on a mission budget so that hungry hearts can be filled by the word of the Lord and that your literatures and tapes be applied in the spiritual needs of people. It is my prayer that your literatures and tapes will help and encourage those who read and hear it to come to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Please send me Bibles, literature, and Messiah books. My t-shirt size is extra large. I am also requesting for my co-workers, which includes the following sizes, small, medium, large, and extra large. Yours in his service, Lupambo, from Mansa, Zambia, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and send them all those things if you haven't already sent it. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's do part five of Another Pearl Harbor.
All those of us who are now saved were at one time evil ourselves. Therefore, we need to have mercy on all the wicked men and women in the world and pray for their salvation.
Right, remember how you were. I remember how I was. Paul tells how that he was the worst of sinners because he murdered Christians, and the Lord had mercy on him and let his soul be saved. And I don't know that I've ever murdered any Christians or anything like that before I was saved, but I know that because of the way I acted, it may have depressed people to the point of wanting to die or something, and it just or that I just a lot of people said I just ruined their lives because I came into their life and then I just leave them cold. And so, you know, it's just you can't go back and straighten that out. The Lord just forgives you for all the sins that you've ever committed, and he drowns them in the sea of his forgetfulness, and you just have to go on serving the Lord. Okay, and then what?
If they don't get saved, God will pour coals of fire on their heads.
Yeah, so we just have to have mercy on these kind of people because every one of us were sinners before, some of us worse than others. Those that have sinned much love much, the Bible says. And a person that thinks they haven't sinned, they think they don't need Jesus. And the Bible says that a common whore, a common prostitute, will enter the kingdom of heaven if she gets saved before a self-righteous person. So I just pray that you don't think that you're so good that you can do without being born again of the Spirit, that you can do without Jesus, because the credential that you need in order to get into the kingdom of heaven is the blood of Jesus on your soul and the Spirit of God living inside you, the Spirit of Christ with the Father by the Spirit. If that isn't occurring, doesn't make any difference how good you think you are. You're only good if Christ, with his Father by the Spirit, is living in you. And you're only saved if your sins are washed away. And everybody was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so you must be washed. All right, there's no one that is without sin before they get saved. It doesn't mean that after you're saved you have sin on you, because the Lord tells you all your sins are washed away, now go and sin no more. And he means business when he says that. Then you may say, well, he says, but the Bible says we're weak and he is strong. Yes, we're weak, and that's why we need his strength within us so that we don't sin anymore. If he, if the Lord, with his Father by the Spirit who sent us, were strong enough to not sin anymore. And you can say, but there's so much temptation. Well, the Lord says to flee from the very appearance of evil. And that all depends on how much you care about entering heaven. That depends on how much you believe the Word of God, if there's really a heaven and a hell. If you don't believe that, well, then you're lost anyway. And it's impossible. It says, Jesus said, if you believe my words, then you're saved. If you doubt, you're damned to hell and the lake of fire. And so, you know, if you don't believe, you're just placing yourself in hell. And you say, well, how? We have faith. Faith comes by reading, hearing, and reading the Word of God. Faith, so read the Word of God, and then hear the Word of God, and that'll build up faith in you to where you can be saved. Okay? And then when you see all these signs, when you read the Bible, you see all the plagues that will be hitting the earth in the last days, like the floods, the fires, the earthquakes, the pestilence, all the different diseases, the earthquakes, and then you'll realize, hey, the Word of God is true. And the heart disease and men's hearts will fail them. And when you see all the other things that are happening on earth that the Lord said would happen, that, first of all, us Jews will be preaching to you Gentiles. It just goes on and on. So then that's how your faith builds up, when you see what the Bible said would be happening just before Jesus comes back to earth again. And then you look at the world and you see it is happening. Okay, so that seeing the things happen before your eyes that the Lord said would happen is believing. Amen? Okay, so let's continue on.
Satan has been loosed and is controlling millions of willing subjects. It is an Old and New Testament command for us to pray for our enemies, these wicked men and women, so that they might come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God will save them. If the ones we are praying for refuse salvation, again, God will, quote, heap coals of fire upon, bracket, their heads, and destroy them. The World Trade Center. Why? Why were the government officials involved with blowing up the World Trade Center? An article in the San Francisco Examiner, June 11, 2002, Section A, page 9, column 1 through 5, quoted an attorney named Stanley Hilton, who is suing President Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta for $7 billion. He represents the families of 14 victims. 400 plaintiffs are involved nationwide. This article, as well as an interview called, quote, the Jones Report, unquote, stated that President Bush was involved in the conspiracy to create the September 11th attacks. They state that Bush helped arrange things so that all the security personnel in the United States would look the other way and allow the destruction of the World Trade Center to take place. Mr. Hilton also stated that he has evidence that bin Laden died several years ago of kidney failure. He went on to say that Bush used dead bin Laden and bin Laden's antagonistic image to create a public frenzy, allowing his administration to tighten its political grip. If this is true...
And the news media helped him do it. That's Satan's mouth, according to the Bible. Satan would be given the beast, the world government, and the cult would be given the mouth. And who else is that mouth but the news media? That just helps inflame people. And then what else?
If this is true, Rome, its world government, and its news media, the propagandists, are leading you down another blind alley, as they do every day and night. Alex Jones of the Jones Report also interviewed Stanley Hilton. See website www.prisonplanet.com/jones_report_031403_hilton.html. Stanley Hilton, an expert on government-sponsored terrorism, stated, quote, we filed the lawsuit last May against Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and a few of the other terrorists who run the United States government for complicity in causing as well as in aiding and abetting the 9/11 attacks in order to promote their political agenda, unquote. Quote, we are facing very strong resistance from the government. They are claiming national security takes precedence over everything. They claim they don't want to release any documents. But I represent people who were victimized by what the government did, unquote. Hilton also stated that he had memos from Bush advisors Wolfowitz, Wormser, Faith, Pearl, and the rest, written several months before 9/11, in which they fervently wished for a, quote, Pearl Harbor-type incident, unquote. Quote, another Pearl Harbor, unquote, to give them the shock value that would enable them to carry out their agenda. Quote, I have a witness who was married to one of the hijackers. She knew seven of them because she met them. Essentially, these Arab hijackers were double agents. That is, they were operating inside the United States for 10 to 15 years in cells. Some of them used the term Al-Qaeda, pronounced Al-Qaeda. They've used other terms as well. Al-Qaeda is a term that means nothing. You could call them Muslim Brotherhood or something else. What they are is a series of cells that have been aided and abetted by the United States government. This woman was married to one of the terrorists at the time of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the Oklahoma City bombing. Her ex-husband actually traveled to Oklahoma City several weeks before the bombings. They were apparently involved in that. What we have here are double agents in that they appear to be Arab fanatics. However, one of the points this woman stressed was that they really are not Muslims. They are more interested in being playboys than in the Quran. I mean, these people drink and were very secular. They were not the fanatical Muslim zealots that the Bush criminals led us to believe. They received regular payments from the United States government. They were recruited by the CIA, the FBI, and counterintelligence. They were paid money, and they were allowed to exchange information with United States government agents about various activities, unquote. Alex Jones then said, quote, let me stop you right there, Mr. Hilton. Everything you said was already backed up by mainstream reports. You've gotten it now in sworn testimony in depositions under oath.
You know, I had a vision about this sleeping dog. While you people out there are sleeping, these people are busy. You know, they're real busy. This vision was like an English bulldog. I saw half of his body laying inside of a doghouse. It was a beautiful sunny day, real green grass. And he was sound asleep, and you couldn't see the top of his head. And he was in such deep slumber, it was unbelievable. Well, that dog represented the United States. And so the vision widened to where I could see the top of his head and a little above it. And there was the top of his head was like a dog bowl, you know, a food bowl where dogs eat out of. But there was a lion lapping his, whatever it was in his head, more than likely brains. Lapping the brains out of his head. The Lord showed that to me. And so Satan is like a lion going to and fro seeking who he can devour. And you people are sound asleep. You're sound asleep. While you're sleeping, these guys are doing all this to you. And even people that you trust and worship. I've heard religious supposed to be leaders on television saying that they believe that Bush is the Messiah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's not my Messiah. Jesus is my Messiah. He said many people in the last days would say they're the Messiah. But he said, behold, I come in clouds and every eye shall see me. Amen?
Amen.
And as the sun comes up in the east and goes down the west, that's how the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come back to earth again. And the Bible says, every eye will see him. Okay, in the clouds, not just with some speechwriter giving him a speech and getting on there and bow-jabbing people. All right, no, that isn't, he's no Messiah. Far from it. The Messiah will never issue orders to kill millions of people. He's a Catholic, and Catholics are not messiahs, nor are they even Christians. All right? They murder Christians, but they're certainly not Christians. Then go on.
But something that everybody wants to ignore is that three of the hijackers, at least, were trained at Pensacola Naval Air Station, not at a local airfield, on the base by the government. Now we find that eight of the hijackers, under the names we were given, are still alive in the Middle East and have been doing interviews on television.
I told you in a piece of literature that I wrote that Mr. Bush Sr., President Bush Sr., had six Nazi war criminals that were his advisors. And when I put that in a piece of literature, they immediately, seemed like the United States Army marched on all of our properties, took them away from us, and started bringing all kinds of accusations. They closed our store down in Nashville, Tennessee, the Alamo of Nashville. They took all of our properties, threw everybody in the winter out on the streets. And this is what people get for telling the truth about these weasels. All right? And so, if you think I'm frightened, you're crazy. Because here I am right back saying the same thing. And they might do the same thing again, but I would rather get into the kingdom of heaven. These people are frightened to death. I like to keep saying it. A little Piper Cub flew over the United Nations or someplace. I forget, I saw it on the news. And they're so frightened because they know they're guilty. These weasels were in buildings and they run. They got out of there just before the explosion. They knew it was coming. Well, anyway, this little Piper Cub flies over, and all of them, there was an alert, you know, it's like all quarters, you know, everyone get took all quarters. They were fleeing out of there, these supposed to be dignified guys. They were bumping into each other trying to get out of the building, and all of a sudden they found out it was a Piper Cub, and just some guy lost his way and didn't realize it was wrong to fly over there. Next, they'll be doing that when a homing pigeon flies over their building. Okay, because they know they're guilty. The Bible says the guilty flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so what else?
You know their faces and their names. These are the same people. We also have Mohammed Atta being sent over to the defense language school at Monterey, unquote. I agree with everything Hilton and Jones have stated in this interview, with the exception of their statements later on in the interview, in which they claim the Jews are the ones seeking world dominion.
Oh, that's a ridiculous statement. That was a false document that was placed on a Jew that was murdered. It was placed on him by the Catholics. The Catholics are the ones. Hitler was Catholic, studied for priesthood. And the Bible tells us that the people that are attempting to rule the earth and the ones that are ruling it, the world power, is from Rome, not Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, you see it's pretty much of a poverty-stricken country. And go to Italy and see how, you know, the big tabernacles, and even in Israel, they've got these big Catholic cathedrals that cost literally millions, and some of them billions of dollars. If you try to reproduce that St. Peter's Square and all the different things of the Vatican, it would cost billions of dollars. There's nothing like that in Israel, not even close to it. It's just like ruins. That's all it is. And those people are very poor. They eat sunflower seeds and eat little St. Peter fish. I lived in Rome and in Venice, Italy, and I lived in the Holy Land. Yeah, I lived in Ofula, so Jerusalem, Tiberias, and I used to spend a lot of time up in Nazareth and other different places. I've been to Tel Aviv, which I don't care about that place. It's too much like Los Angeles. If I want to be in Los Angeles, I'll go to L.A. When I go to Israel, I want to be where the the different sites are and everything. I don't want a modern city at all. But it's not the Jews that are trying to rule the world. They don't have any money over there. Everything is Vatican Bank, Mafia, One World Government. They run the government. They're tax exempt. They're like the biggest gangsters and criminals that ever lived on the face of this earth. The Bible says so. The mother of every abomination comes out of Rome, not Israel. Okay, then what?
God said Rome is doing it, not Israel. God said he will destroy Rome and will fight for Israel. There are a few bad Jews, just like there are a few bad Americans and a few bad people in every nation. God's chosen people are the Israelis. God places all the blame for every abomination on earth on Rome. The Jewish people are being persecuted, prosecuted, and falsely blamed by wicked Rome and her puppets for just about everything. Satan doesn't like Jews, both because they wrote the Bible and because Christ himself, God Almighty, is a Jew. So when you hear people attacking Jews, they are either misguided people used by the devil in Rome, or it is the devil himself. One of my attorneys in New York, Ron Kuby, made a statement in two articles entitled Troubling Questions in Troubling Times and The World Trade Center, The Horror and Tragedy, The Bravery and Enigma, regarding the 1993 attempt to destroy the World Trade Center. He said, quote, the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing was the government of the United States. It was a phony government-engineered conspiracy to begin with. It would never have amounted to anything had the government not planned it, unquote. The Pope, through his American puppets...
You know, Ron Kuby is one of, like, he's a celebrity in the attorney world. Eric Lieberman and Ron Kuby, they're the really big-time attorneys. And if he says something like that, respect it, all right? Because the Bible says it, Ron Kuby says it, and I've been saying it for a lot of years, probably before Ron Kuby was even born. Okay, then what?
The Pope, through his American puppets, says there's going to be more terrorism in the United States and that it will be in the form of chemical warfare. These statements have frightened the American people to the point where they have agreed to wage war against those who are not really the bad guys, the terrorists. According to hundreds of well-informed, true patriots in the government, the bad guys, the terrorists, the ones that also have chemical warfare, are the fictitious United States president and all those in his administration under Rome's control. Many presidents have stated they would never make a move without the Pope, and they have sworn to keep the Pope's commandments. The Vatican,
well,
the root.
Yeah, Clinton said that, and so did... Bush, both Bushes, and even FDR. It goes back even further than FDR. Okay, then what else?
When Americans protest a little too angrily against the war, the Pope and his puppets in the United States will instigate many other 9/11s and Pearl Harbors in hopes of making everyone feel ashamed for demonstrating against Bush and the war. But remember who's causing the Pearl Harbors and 9/11s. When the next Pearl Harbor or 9/11 happens here, remember the Alamo world pastor Tony Alamo. I told you so, and I've been telling you the same things for 38 years.
Now it's 41 years. This is when I was saved only 38 years when I wrote this. So that's 38, 39, 40, 41. It's about 3-4 years ago. And then what else?
When are you people in the United States and the rest of the world going to wise up to who's causing all these evil things to happen to you? There are millions of books that have been written about Rome and her popes. If you refuse to believe what the source is of all the world's problems, there will never be an end to them. If you fight only the Pope's puppets, you're merely pruning the branches of the most evil cult in the world, and this will only make Rome stronger, until God destroys this wicked, Satan-powered, beast cult media once and for all.
Right, the branches of the Pope are the presidents and the people in the administration and all that. You must know that it's coming from Rome. Now, we're not trying to get anybody to do anything wrong to President Bush or anybody in the administration. They've done evil, and they need to be saved, and so we need to pray for them and pray that they'll get saved. And the same thing with everybody. We need to pray for them. The Bible says, do good to all men. There isn't any better thing that you can do for men that's better than to witness and testify to them as you see me doing now, and also praying for them that they'll get saved. It says, honor all men with your prayers and witness and testify to them. Don't be saying they're so bad that they can't be saved, because we don't know the heart of President Bush. I did a lot of wicked things before I was saved, too. There's some judges that are just so filthy and rotten that only the Lord could save their soul. So pray that they'll get saved, too. Otherwise, if we don't get to them with the gospel first, they're going to throw us in prison and even cause us to be put to death. And if they do, they make my day, but, you know, you don't want to see your children abused like that, or your loved ones, or anybody else for that matter. I don't want to see anybody take the torture and the punishment that these people are doling out. They're wicked, and they need to be saved, okay? That's all. So let's pray for them. Father, save their souls in the name of Jesus. And when we do, if they don't, well, then God will pour coals of fire on their head. And they can't say that they've never been witnessed to. This literature that I'm putting out and these tapes that I'm putting out is strong medicine, and it's true. And so, you know, they can't say they haven't been told. And they're going to be guilty before the judgment bar of God if they don't repent. All right, then what?
The Pope loves when you believe that his puppets are causing all the trouble. This makes the Pope, Rome, and the Vatican look like Snow White. You believe he doesn't want to control the world just because he says in the media, I don't want war. But his plan to control the world includes to shock and appease, shock and appease, shock and appease. 9/11 and appease, 9/11 and appease.
Number 9/11, and let's cause war. Let's go after these weasels. Well, if they said, we did it in the White House here, boy, they're not going to say that, do you think? No, if I was them, I sure wouldn't say. I'd say, it's Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Or it's some guy that's in a cave somewhere over in the mountains. Now, we got to look for him. Let's spend about $200 billion looking for this guy. And when it's the very one that's on television telling you, we got to find him. I mean, you know, if you was the devil, wouldn't you do the same thing?
Yeah.
I would. And if I've got that much sense, you know, the devil's lived 7,000 years longer than I have here in this world, going on 7,000 years. And God only knows how long he was up in heaven before he decided to do what he did and get cast down. So he has all these thousands of years of experience. And that's why he thinks you're a bunch of stupid idiots. Okay, go ahead.
9/11 and appease until he has his way.
It just looks so patriotic, you know, to start a fire. When I was a kid, you know, all of us decided, you know, what we could do if we were going to rob houses is start a fire on one side of town, and then all the firemen would go over their way and all the police, and then all the houses on this side of town, the other side of town would be wide open. To loot. Well, then we were little kids, you know, we figured that out. You should be able to figure out, that they could bomb, blow up 9/11, and then just say, it's over there, overseas, someplace that we want the oil, and we want to rule all these Arabic nations, because they're crazy anyway. And they'd say that we have to do away with all the Negroes. Let's blame them, you know. And the Jews, we hate them anyway. But Vatican says, openly stated to a friend of mine that ran Cashbox magazine, that their enemies are the Jews. And I know that he wasn't making that up. Okay, and then what?
The Pope's media says, quote, look what the ragheads have done, unquote. His puppets are insane. They take the abuse that belongs to the Pope by doing what he says. The Pope tells Bush, don't worry about it, George. I'll make you a big man. I'll make the media exalt you. Just don't let anyone know that we've talked. We have to protect our Roman coven about everything else in the world. Remember, George, the United States people will not go to war until they really get ticked off. So the more belligerent they get, the more terrorists and the more 9/11s we'll give them until they agree to take over the countries we need in our one-world system, unquote. Rome's puppets in the United States pretend they are defenders of the U.S. Constitution, but according to insiders, they are exactly the opposite. The propagandists have us believing that if we kill Iraqis, we will be free from terrorists. But in reality, if we kill those who are not the terrorists, only the terrorists will remain. This is the first time in history that the United States has declared war against any country. This is why God told me he's about to destroy the guilty parties. And this is why God, quote, is terrible to the kings of the earth, unquote. Psalm 76, verse 12. And, quote, terrible is in his doing toward the children of men, unquote. Psalm 66, verse 5. It's obvious to millions of people that the things Ron Kuby said, as well as the other things mentioned in this literature, are positively the truth. God's word is true and his promises are true. All of yesterday's and today's troubles are emanating from Rome, quote, the mother of harlots, unquote, the Vatican, Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. We know these people are part of the Roman cult and conspiracy to rule the world. Otherwise, they would not be so blatant in doing the things they're obviously doing. We know that the, quote, great red dragon, unquote, the devil, empowers Rome with his wicked spirit and has literally mesmerized the entire world with his many evil spirits. Dragging we the people. Hermann Göring, a Nazi leader next in rank to Hitler himself, said in the Nuremberg trials, quote, why, of course the people, bracket of every nation, end bracket, don't want war, but, after all, it is the leader of the countries who plan wars, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked, bracket, by some evil person or country, and bracket, and they will do it. They will denounce the pacifists, bracket, those who oppose war, and bracket, for lack of patriotism, and say they are exposing the country to danger, unquote. Again, this statement is recorded in the documents of the Nuremberg trials in Nuremberg, Germany. R. Joseph, Ph.D., in his book, America Betrayed, Bush, Bin Laden, 9/11, stated, quote, based on the wealth of facts detailed and documented in Part 2 of this book, America Betrayed, we are charging high-ranking officials in the FBI, CIA, and Bush administration with treason and the mass murder of nearly 3,000 Americans on 9/11/2001. Key FBI headquarters personnel had to be spies or blind as moles who were actually working for, bracket, the Pope, and bracket, key FBI HQ personnel continue to almost inexplicably throw up roadblocks and undermine Minneapolis's desperate efforts to stop terrorists who plan to take control of a plane and fly it into the World Trade Center. These statements were verified by an unnamed FBI supervisor and by Colleen M. Rowley, an FBI special agent and chief division counsel. As detailed in Part 2 of this book, America Betrayed, the reason the FBI, CIA, and Bush administration failed to connect the dots is because they are the dots, unquote. 3 months before 9/11, in the July 3, 2001 issue of the supermarket tabloid Sun, it was reported that the Vatican predicted there would be a great wave of terrorism in the United States in the early fall. The Vatican has no prophets.
Early fall, like September 11th.
Okay. The Vatican doesn't have any clairvoyant. They don't get messages from the Lord. They gave that message up because they knew they were going to do it, along with high officials here in the United States.
The Vatican has no prophets. They are simply political warmongers and terrorists. Of course, a little more than 2 months later, the World Trade Center was hit by two remote-controlled airplanes, which triggered several bombs in the buildings at different intervals.
Well, they weren't airplanes. They were rockets, according to new photographs that were that they slowed down the frames and got pictures. There was no windows in these airplanes, and their wings were very small. And they said they're rockets, and I have the videotapes on that, and I can tell you how to get the videotapes if you want them. Okay, then what?
And the World Trade Center became ground zero. Nearly 3,000 American citizens were killed. The Vatican is a political organization. They don't know God, but they blaspheme him in every way. I, Tony Alamo, immediately began writing a message to the people of the United States. I also broadcast several messages on tape telling the people of the United States and the world that the Vatican and its political leaders were definitely going to start a terrorist campaign in the United States in the early fall of 2001. It's easy for the Vatican to predict terrorist attacks because they and those they control are the terrorists. With the threat of more terrorist attacks, the deceived American public ran to the heads of the state rather than to God to find out what they could do to stop terrorism. The heads of nations gave the Americans no hope. The high powers of spiritual wickedness in this world do not want people in the world to have hope. They lie to the people by saying that hope is found in them rather than in God.
Right. Now, the terrorists, God is getting sick and tired of these terrorists getting all the glory. He is the one that's now terrorizing everybody by smiting these cities, and it's going to get worse. He's going to hit many cities. I just turned on the news today and saw that over there in Italy, it was flooded out. So it's just, and the diseases are getting worse every day. The bird flu is coming, they say. One-third of the people of the world will be killed by it. And you might be next with some plague that the Lord hits you with. Maybe you're already hit with one. You could get rid of it by repenting and asking the Lord to heal you. All right, then what?
Echoes from the past. Dr. R. Joseph's book, America Betrayed, stated, quote, "The new leader of the free world, who promised a new world order, did not win power by democratic means. He was appointed after he failed to win the presidency with a majority of votes. Yet he did have the backing of banks, industrialists, and transnational corporations, including those controlled or directed by America's leading families and the father of George Bush," unquote. As Dr. Joseph's book notes, in, quote, "that same year he took office, the nation was struck by terrorists. One of the nation's most recognizable symbols burned and then crashed to the ground," unquote. Dr. Joseph documents, quote, "This is a cunning and well-prepared plot. Terrorists were to blame, the government announced, foreign terrorists and their agents. Yet what the people were not told was that the man ostensibly in charge of the investigation deleted critical information and rewrote investigative police reports. He did so to protect and cover up government involvement in this dastardly deed," unquote. Dr. Joseph's book further alleges that, quote, "the government and the nation's media were instead warned that terrorists were running amok," bracket and that and bracket, "the nation was in danger, freedom itself was under assault. The nation and freedom must be protected from terrorism," the people were told. The leader who promised a new world order warned the nation that only his party could protect the people from terrorism. Only his party was concerned with national security. He, his minions, and the media, which supported him, demanded that the people give them their votes to give his party a ruling majority, and he derided the patriotism of those who opposed him. officials of opposing parties were threatened. Laws were hastily passed, supported even by those who opposed his rule. The Constitution itself was modified in order, the propagandists said, to protect the citizens, to protect freedom.
All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we've just run out of time. And so I urge you to tune in tomorrow to hear part six of Another Pearl Harbor. This information is extremely vital for you to hear. They took our ability to mail out according to a low price for religious material. And therefore, I just thank and praise the Lord that we are on many stations now all over the world. So tune in tomorrow for part six of Another Pearl Harbor. Till then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.